I will miss you. 17. When I was 21, it was a perfect year. It was a very good year for city girls.
And take 10 minutes or so to go and have brief interviews with some of you. Incidentally, the people that are going to be interviewed, I believe, have not been warned, so it's going to be interesting. Bill? Before I start out, I'm reminded of a story in talking about careers and what happens to people. This is a story of the social worker who was doing a special research on prostitution. And she was interviewing a number of the call girls. And this particular day, she was talking to this young lady, and she said, we have to determine why you happen to go into this particular line of work. She said, did you come from a deprived home? And the girl said, no. Oh, my father was a banker, and my mother was a school teacher, and we lived in an upper middle class home in a nice part of the city. And the social worker said, well, was there a loving relationship in your family? And the girl said, oh, yes, yes. She said, my parents and the children all got along well, and we were involved in the community, and we went to church. And the social worker said, well, I just can't understand, with that background, how you happen to go into prostitution. And the girl said, well, I don't know, just lucky, I guess. We know that luck plays a major factor. I'm sure there are many things that determine what we do in life. And so as I chat with some of you people, maybe you can tell me how luck played a hand in your career. I've got some names here. These people have not been warned, but we'd like to have you tell us the year you left college and what you really planned to do at that time and what you ended up doing. And the name on my list happens to be a man who's right next to me, and we'll start with Hamilton Marston. Ham, is that up there? Let's put the mic here. Okay, you can use that mic.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Tell us when you left the college and what you planned to do.
Well, I graduated from Williams College in 1932. I had always planned to be a merchant, and I was one for a while until the stockholders were smart enough to sell the business.
So, in other words, you followed through on what you really planned to do.
Yes, I went into merchandising, and then I went out of it.
And a lot of it had to do with that.
Well, I think I had luck when I went out.
Thanks. Lewis Shellbach, let's see, right over here. You stand up. Tell us.
My story goes back further than State College, from which I emerged in 1925. It goes back to high school days. I had a job after school as a Prince Dell and messenger boy for the San Diego Daily Transcript. And in that job, I learned something about proofreading, and one of the things I learned was the delete sign, which is a little wiggly line like that. And remember that, it's very important in my story. I went to State College, worked on what was then the paper lantern. The faculty advisor was a very nice lady named Miss Smith, and she knew absolutely nothing about the newspaper business. But she was impressed by the fact that I knew what that little wiggly line was. She didn't know. She said, wouldn't you like to be editor of the paper? And I said, you bet I would. And on the strength of that, I got a job on the union as campus correspondent. And from then on, of course, my career was out, and I wanted to be a journalist. Went to New York to the Columbia School of Journalism, got a job part-time as campus correspondent for The World. The World had some excellent people on it, Alexander Wolkoff and Hayward Broom and Walter Lippmann. And I figured, well, I would never get anywhere in that kind of an organization. So in due time, I got a job with Standard Statistics Company, now Standard & Poor's. There were a lot of people there who had masters of business administration, but they couldn't compose an English sentence. So I shone in that group. And I held practically every job in the shop. I ate regularly during the Depression, eked out a living thereafter, and it all stemmed from the fact that I knew this little wiggly line.
I've got a name here, Winnie Broderick. Did she stand up, Winnie Broderick? Don't bring people out of me, Patrick. Back over here. Ms. Tallis-Baker.
Well, I want to tell you, you picked on the wrong person because I was successful with my career because I planned to be a wife and a mother, and that's exactly what I've been, and there's nothing else to tell you. I didn't cover myself with glory in any way.
Very good, very good. Miss Lynn Ward, Miss Lynn Ward.
Inflation, and he encouraged me to go back to USC for my doctorate. Two people influenced me, my mother and my husband. Then came a third influence, and she probably doesn't remember, but it was Sue Ernest. She was on the campus at USC, and she suggested I take a few courses from Dr. Lee Travis, which I did. And I got my doctoral and went to New York City for a semester and stayed 32 years. I became a counseling psychologist. Now, there's a lot of difference maybe between being an elementary teacher and a counseling psychologist, but there's an awful lot of teaching in it. And I'd like to give a compliment to the faculty I had at San Diego State. They taught their subject matter well, but also they gave us some values by example. One was understanding of us as students. Another one was encouragement. And above all, respect for us and I value very highly my years at San Diego State.
Thank you. Margaret Correll. I'm saying you're building lots of apartments. You can tell us all about it.
Well, that's part of where I didn't expect to land. When I graduated from high school, I was going to be a doctor. And the first month after I had entered State College, I was at Rosemont High for Alumni Day. I was walking along the highway with a girlfriend back to our cars, and she was struck by a car and dragged quite a distance, and a car that came along took her to a doctor in La Mesa. It was 5 or 5:30 in the afternoon, and the doctor's nurse had gone, so he asked me if I would hold her head while he took some stitches. And then and there, I decided that I was going to be something else, because I couldn't hold her head while he took stitches. So the next semester, I entered teacher training, and I graduated in due time. I taught just 1 year, and I had taken typing as an elective to get adequate points for graduation. The last thing I took was typing, and I taught just 1 year and then went into the county superintendent's office and earned my living for 10 years, mainly with typing. And after that, that was all in Trigo Valley, and I came over here now. I'm doing apartments, as Mr. Marston says.
Good. Dick Whitaker. Dick, we're up. We all remember Dick from writer on the San Diego Tribune, or Dick.
My father was an Army captain, and I was Lieutenant Colonel in the ROTC at San Diego High School. So I thought I was on my way to West Point, when my eyes went on the blink, and I started San Diego State and didn't know what I wanted to do. So I got on the wrestling team. And since I was the youngest one and the smallest one on the team, I was chosen to go and fight with the sports editor of the Aztec, because they weren't getting enough publicity. And he said, well, I don't have anybody to write it. If you will write it, we'll put it in the paper. And I ended up being editor of the Aztec for 2.5 years, thanks to 3 very good friends who are Theta Chi's and 2 single-minded brothers who were on with me on the student council. I went down to the last year I was in school, I wrote San Diego State News for free for the San Diego Union, went down there with my story of my graduation class. I said, I've been working a year for free, and I would be happy to work for pay. And C.A. McGrew, the editor, says, well, I don't have a job for you right now, but if you will keep in touch with me, I will give you a crack at the first job that opens up. So he said, keep in touch, and I did. Everybody worked 6 days then, and I went in to see him every day. Or